So to park test Mishnah test, Mishirambu harot tzchonin, batla egla arufa. When there was an increase of the number of murderers, whatever they were, gang members, cartels, whatever they had, batla egla arufa. They stopped doing the mitzvah of egla arufa. Why is that? So the Rav says, because they knew who were the ones that were normally the killers. And egla arufa is only brought if it's loy noida mihu ko, if we don't know who. So there are a few mahalchim in how to understand this. So first, the Pharisee explains that once there was more, I guess, organized crime or things like that, there was always mistumma somebody knew who the murderer was. Because when you have that environment and you have something that's, I guess, more widespread or organized, there's always somebody that knows. And the Torah says, lo noda mihiko. There's another mahalach, which is the Meiri, that says that even though you could have, you know, some big murderers out there, and it's also possible you don't know exactly which one did the murder, because it's Rabu Haroitzchanin, because there are many of them. But once you are able to sort of narrow it down, where it's not a big suffix anymore, like in the cases of the Mishnayis, they had no idea Bechlal who killed him. But now, once you can bring it down to a few groups, it's not a total suffix anymore. And if it's not a total suffix, it's a chiddush. If it's not a total suffix, then they wouldn't do Egla Rufa. Mishaba Eliezer ben Dinai, Uschina ben Prisha Hayanikra, Chazu Lekroisoy ben Haratzchan. So this is just an example of one of the famous people at that time, the time of Mishnais, that was a murderer. His name was Eliezer ben Dinai, and Pharisee explains that Utchina ben Prisha Hayanikra, he was called China ben Prisha. Some say it's just all these murderers have like nicknames. Pharisee explains that the nickname was actually a progression of his crime. So first he was Eliezer ben Dinai, like a lashon of he would give strict punishment to every kind of thing. And then Utchina ben Prisha, then he started, as many of them do, he got to the next level where he started giving punishments for no reason whatsoever. And he was just hurting people, and people were staying away from him. That's lashon of ben Prisha. And then Chazu Lekroisa ben Haratzchan, and then he ultimately became an actual murderer, which is sometimes, unfortunately, the cases of some of these murderers. It starts out doing something little, and then it gets a little bigger, and then finally they murder. So that's what the story with this guy was. And he's just an example of during the time that there were Mevatel Egla Rufa. Misharabu ha-mena'afim, pasku ha-mayim ha-marim, when there were a lot of people being involved in promiscuous acts, they stopped doing the mayim ha-marim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hifsikan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one that stopped it. Now, one of the reasons is because if the men are not innocent as well, the mayim ha-marim doesn't work. And what happens is, the Mefarshim explain, that if the mayim wasn't going to work, the concern was people would just say, hey, you see, the mayim ha-marim doesn't work. And they didn't realize that the reason it didn't work was for a different reason. Not because the mayim doesn't normally work, but because it only works when the husband is innocent. But if he is also, let's say, menayef with a woman, or Taisentiv brings the Gemara, that not only with an Eishes Ish, even if he is boyol a pnuya, b'derech niyuf, just nus, even if she's not married, that also would stop the mayim ha-marim from killing his wife. And not only that, if his family, his kids, are actively involved in this stuff, and he doesn't stop them, he doesn't say anything, he's also, in a certain sense, liable. So also, he supports it in a certain sense, and it wouldn't work as well. So he brought earlier in this Masechta, the drasha of Nika Ishmael Avon, that he has to be clean from sin, but the Mishnah is bringing a different drasha to include the other cases, like the Gemara brings. Shenemar lo efgoid al b'nei seichem ki tiznena, there's a pasuk in Hosea that also talks about people that had their children involved with this stuff. So it's coming to include that as well, and that's why this Mishnah brings that pasuk. When these tzaddikim died, and it's lav dafka when they died, it's towards the end of their life, the Mefarshim explain. Batlu ha-eshkoilos. The Eshkoilos became Batel. What's Eshkoilos? So the Eshkoilos is a combination of the words Ish Shehakol Bo, Eshkol. It was a certain type of greatness. There's a few ways that they, Mefarshim, learn this certain type of greatness, or what it means, like Tosfos Yontif brings, like the Mahalach of the Rav, which is that the Torah was totally emes, without any type of separations, machloikeses, different ways. It was very simple, clear, just like Nisi Nelson Misinai. Because at the end of these two tzaddikim, the end of their lives, machlokis started. And the first machlokis, like Santa brings, the Gemara in Chagiga, first machlokis was smicha on Yontif. That was actually the first machlokis in Klal Yisrael. Smicha on Yontif, whether or not it's mutter to do smicha of behemoth on Yontif for karbanis. And from there, machlokis started. Shenemar ein eshko lechol bikura ivsa nafshi. So we see from there, Tiferes Yisrael explains that a precious, great person is called an eshkol in Hashem's vineyard, which is Beis Yisrael.